Hello, Fight Inside fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D. And with me, as always, the man formerly known as Timbo Slice, Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods and leave 5-star reviews. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use the code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15% on your first order. On today's episode, we talk to the latest and greatest heavyweight to hit the UFC, discuss Paul versus Woodley 2, make our picks for UFC 269, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it!
Yes, Timmy B, Princey D, Fight in Sight.
It's December, and today we're bringing you the jolly big guy that makes you smile, makes you happy, and makes you believe. But we're not talking about Santa Claus. We're talking about the man that danced his way into MMA fans' hearts when he delivered one of the greatest knockouts ever at UFC 268. 22 wins in 29 fights. He's the newest threat in the heavyweight division, even though he believes he's only 170 pounds. Born in Zaragoza, Spain, coming to us today from Athens, Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast,
Chris the Beast Boy Barnett.
Yeah. What's up, Chris?
Hey, man. How you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Good, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm good. Can't complain. Living, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to tell you something, man. I when I called out your name, I did it from the gut. From the gut.
I felt that. That was Bruce Buffer right there. I felt that right there.
I could die happy now, Tim. I'm good. Yeah. We got it from Chris Barnett. We're good, baby.
Chris, man, we are just a couple of guys in Toronto, Canada. We can't believe that you're on the podcast. This is huge for us. Your social media is insanity. We were talking right before the show started, but what has happened since that win? We're talking about that heel, that hook kick. Hook kick that you threw. That was an insane knockout. How has your life changed? Like, your social media has gone through the roof. What's different with Chris Barnett?
First off, you know, y'all being from Canada, I got to give a big rest in peace to my boy Ryan Jimmo. That right there was my he was a variant of myself. Me and him, we linked up long time ago in Florida down there, Black Zillions, and you would have thought I lost my longtime brother. Like, it didn't make sense how quick we ended up linking up. But yeah, man, besides that, life has been, I'll say, it's been the same for me because I'm keeping the same mindset. There's nothing really going to change about me. I'm always going to be this happy, happy, jolly guy, not Santa Claus, like you said, my friend. But yeah, man, like the numbers have changed on Instagram and then, you know, Twitter. I got a blue check on Twitter finally. Girl, let me tell you.
Chris, you got that type of money now, huh?
Yeah, right. Okay, so here's what people don't get. These numbers on Instagram don't equate to money at all. Like, okay, if I would ask every Instagram follower for a dollar, right, I should have $185,000, right?
Yep.
Yeah, no, wrong. There was a comedian that did that. He has like maybe 500,000 followers. My dude ended up with $50 at the end of the day. He did it for his birthday too. He asked people to give him just a dollar for his birthday. And my man ended up with $50. I was like, wow, he got gas. All right, man. But
Chris, what were they paying in pesos?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I was like, what is going on here? You know, it'll stay like this for me for a while, man, because I always try to keep it humble, try to stay down to earth. Like, literally, I'm that guy that I love getting those Instagram messages. Oh, I know you're never going to read this, and I know you're not going to see this. And I'm like, surprise. I send little eyeball emojis like, well, you thought I wasn't going to see it. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, just staying humble and keeping true to myself and a strong little team around me. And nothing gonna change for me except for, you know, I might go buy like a Xbox game finally, you know, or something like that. You know, something simple, nothing crazy. Nice, nice. But yeah, no, I'm always keep it right here. We're right here, you know.
But I just want to show people at home that are watching, or if you're listening, I'll come over to our YouTube and check it out. But here's just something that a website does. They're called MMA. They're called at @MMA_games. And Chris, what they do is they track people's Instagram followers before and after fights to see.
Uh-huh.
So, but here what they did for us is they gave us your number right before the Rothwell fight. You were at 34,000. Before your Volante fight, you're at 47,000. The next day, 78,000. And now, like you said, 185,000. It's like, I was calculating, it's like a 400% increase over, you know, a very short amount of time. So I know you said it doesn't translate necessarily into dollars, but like, does like the UFC, are they happy with that? Like, does it ever come into play with your contracts or anything like that?
I want to say it, okay, not to retract, but it doesn't equate to money as far as each person is whatever. Now, with those numbers, the sponsors have been rolling in. That's nice. One thing that's changed. But it's crazy, though. Some of the sponsors that are getting back to me, there's a message from me 4 years ago, 5 years ago, of me reaching out like, hey, guys, I don't want anything from you. You know, just send me a T-shirt. I'll be more than happy to wear it out there for you. And now hey, would you wear one of our T-shirts? And it's like, I could be that guy. But again, I keep it humble. I'm cool. Send me the shirt. Send me the shirt, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Chris, you got to do that. You're going to show some of them, because that's for us, man. We're a brand new podcast. We're just, you know, we're in episode 43, I think this is today.
Nice.
And, you know, there's some companies that I'm like, come on, guys, sponsor us. And they're like, no, sorry, we're not interested. Not
the right demographic.
I'm like, you just wait. You'll be coming.
But now, yeah, no. It's nice to have that kind of in the back of my mind of, you know, I remember when you guys were quote unquote too big, you know, and now you're here knocking, you know what I mean? But it's, I'll say with, it's, I don't even know how to put it. Oh, it's changed in a manner like, oh, money wise. Again, just with the sponsors and stuff. And it's weird. When I needed the hey, man, we're training here, come train with us, we'll fly you out. When I needed that, it was never there. I won't say never there. You know, I had some guys reach out, if you can get here, you know, we can train. Yeah. But now it's, when can we fly you out? You know, when can we do this for you? And when can we do that? And it's almost, it's heartbreaking to know that I was one of those guys like, hey, I don't need a handout. I need a finger. I need you to just boink, do that. Literally, that's all I need. And they would look at me like, yeah, that sounds good, dude. We see you, but we don't see you, you know? And now it's like, everybody's like, okay, what can we do to help you out? And it takes a lot in you to, you know, just to be like, you know, you want to, but. I stop. I dial it back in. You know what I mean? And I accept like literally everybody. Actually, I got to go help an amateur heavyweight. He reached out. He reached out to me, and I am more than happy to go help him out. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, I can't fly you out. I can't, you know, do this. I can't give you gas, but I know you're probably going to say another one of those guys. I know you're probably going to say no and not see this. I was like, dude, you're right down the street. I'll be more than happy to come and help you out, man. So, again, with that, falling back on it, I'll never change, you know what I mean, as far as it goes. But it's fun and funny to see those, hey, you'll never do this. Oh, we don't want to work with you because of how you look, how this is and that. And then 3 weeks later, 3 weeks ago, hey, we saw you messaged us, you know, so what are you looking for? And it's like, nothing now, nothing at all.
yeah, your time has come.
Yeah, exactly. Chris, he's like, no.
it gets to one of the fan questions that we have. So we normally ask for fan questions. We normally do it at the end, but you kind of touched on it here. You know, you've been all over the world. So in your fighting career, and like you're saying, like, you were looking for sponsors, and now here you are. You finally hit UFC at MMA Social Squad. Great page. They're asking, hey, you've been all over the world. Risen, Road FC. Was UFC always your final destination? Like, was that always your end goal for you?
No, and I think that might have been one of the reasons it took so long, is because I have just always been happy fighting and entertaining. Like, I've never, of course, you know, when people come up to you, hey, you want to fight in Bellator? You want to fight here? You want to fight there? Of course, you know, the political answer is yes. But honestly, I didn't care. Not in a manner of, you know, all these fighters have so much negative to say about it and this and this and that. You know, I've been told, don't go that way. Don't go to the UFC and all this stuff. And it's just like, guys, I don't, to hear all that now and then to be in it, I was like, man, I should have did things, you know, right a long time ago. But then again, with the UFC, they were right for what they did with me. I was 300 plus pounds walking around. There's no reason to sign me. What is the reason? They don't have that weight class. And then on top of that, like, they're not going to make it. Like, you know how many, yeah. Man, I'm sorry, but you know how many beer gut heavyweights would have showed up to, like,
yeah.
To tryouts and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say I'm giving false hope because it's possible for anybody to be able to do what I'm doing out there. But some guys at 40 years old trying to do it, that's a different, you know, that might be a lawsuit, you know, at that point, you know. So it's tough to say that UFC wasn't my end goal, because once you, okay, this sounds bad, but they even said it themselves. Once you're in there, you're pretty much set. Like, if I ever get booted out, I'm set. Like, you know what I mean? As far if I wanted to continue fighting, because everybody wants that UFC vet, right, you know, behind that, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know? So, it's weird though, man, but I have a really good feeling even after the UFC thing, I'm still going to be around that organization because I've rubbed a lot of shoulders with outside people. I'm not that guy that just goes into the building and, oh, I'm a fighter, y'all got to come talk to me. Nope. I talk to the guy that's cleaning the cage and you know, and then I go talk to Dana White. You know what I mean? I learned something from everybody in that building, and me rubbing elbows, I've had nothing but high praises from the people at the UFC, and the way they've treated me, it almost makes me feel like they're setting me up because they treat me so well. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know if my life's just been that messed up to where it's like, hey man, why are you being so nice? What do you want? Like, you know what I mean? Like, but they treat me really, really good, dude. So I'm glad this is quote unquote the end goal or whatever type thing. Yeah. But I have a feeling even after this, there's going to be some UFC stuff going on with me after, you know, after the fighting is of it.
No, of course, man. But I mean, look, for anybody that didn't want, okay, first of all, nobody did not see your fight. Everybody has seen the clips now for sure. But if people haven't seen your in-cage interview post-fight, that was crazy, dude. You did the nicest thing ever by keeping Gian next to you, saying the nicest things in the world about him. And that was all your time. Like, you used up all your time to give props to Gian Vellante. Are you guys still talking? I mean, like, that was really genuinely nice of you.
Yeah, no, man, Gian's a good dude. And the love for him honestly came through Stipe. But me giving him his spotlight, one, with everything going on. Two, if you go back and look at some of my fights, I do that. Like, if I win, lose, or draw, I want the crowd to know. These people literally have put everything into, you know, some people, I flew all the way from Ireland to watch, you know, this and that. And it's like, dude, like, you spent almost $1,000 and it could be, you know what I mean, go out there and knock the dude out in 30 seconds. You just spent all that money coming over here. So I get that aspect. Like, I get John is from New York. He probably had people in that state, like, you know, he probably had a massive amount of people there. They don't know my goofy butt. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna let him speak because these are his people. You know what I mean? Like, I was thankful that I won them over, you know, especially I knew I was going to be straight at weigh-ins. And then when I walked out, I knew I was good. But even if I had got the booze, I still would have done that exact same thing because that's in my martial arts pedigree. You know what I mean? Like, to always be humble, to show consideration, to show that I appreciate you stepping in this cage with me. You know what I mean? We put on the show for these people, you know? But nah, like, it literally, I don't know if y'all heard the joke I said, At the weigh-in little ceremony, I said, this is like if you order DC and Stipe on Wish. You know what I mean? That's like literally what the fight was. And it was awesome because I had trained with Stipe. So it wasn't the nerve of, I know this guy's going to go out, he's just trying to take my head off and kill me, da-da-da-da-da. It was, I'm out here in front of all these folks training. Like, it's a glorified training session at this point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And me, when I'm training with my friends, I like to outdo them. That's all it, like, pretty much, that's exactly what it is, you know? And that's what that was, you know? We went out there during the fight. We're talking. There's like, at one point, the crowd goes, what was it? Let's go, Brandon. Yes. Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And John goes, who the hell is Brandon? I said, I don't know. I thought that was one of your friends. Like, yeah. We touch up gloves and keep it moving. The second round comes around. Just to let you know that all that tough guy rah-rah stuff doesn't have to be whatever. John looks at my glove and he goes, hey, man, you got some tape dangling. And I'm like, if I look down, he's going to punch me in the face. No, I really had tape dangling from my gloves. I go, let me get it. He goes, okay, go ahead. I was like, no, never mind. I won't get it. He goes, okay. I go, yeah, let me get it. He goes, are you going to get it or not? I said, never mind. Let's just go. Let's just fight. You know what I mean? Like, we had that conversation during the fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
you know what's so funny, Chris? When I watched back and I saw the part where the crowd is saying, let's go, Brandon.
Yeah.
Which we're Canadian, but we still know what that means.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because when Jean says, who's Brandon? And he says it to you. You hear Joe Rogan go, oh, they're talking to each other now. He's thinking you guys are talking shit to one another, but you guys are just like, who's that guy? I don't know. Okay, let's fight.
I absolutely love Joe Rogan's commentary during that because at one point my man goes, NFTs, yeah, I've had 10 smart people explain it to me and I still don't know what it is. And I was like, good, I don't feel bad about knowing about NFTs either. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, no, that commentary was awesome. I absolutely love them three, man.
All right. Speaking of your background, and I do want to get to your Taekwondo background, but you're talking about, like, you know, how you want to always impress people in training. I do have a video that I've captured of Prince in training.
Actually, before we begin the video, listen, I got to tell you, Chris, man, I was so inspired by that knockout that I dedicated this video for you.
Okay, I like this.
This is world exclusive, Chris. World exclusive. I'll sell this to you. As you got to hit the home. Actually,
man, exclusive flavor, Let's go. Let's go.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's play this bad boy.
Chris, come on. Chris, show me some love, baby. Listen, Chris, listen. It's all about practice, right? Listen, I missed the pad by an inch. By an inch, right?
That's all, man.
Is this practice?
We're talking about practice.
Not a game, talking about practice, right? Listen.
Not the match you go out there on and that you love. We're talking about practice.
That's it, Chris. Listen, let me tell you, the guy that I landed that kick on, he's still on crutches right now.
That's what I'm talking about. See? That's what I'm talking about. At the end of the day, guess who's doing the podcast with me? Not that guy.
That's it. And let me tell you this, Chris. He ain't peeing standing up. That's for sure.
Boom. Sit him down. Shut down people.
Chris, you have a Taekwondo background, right? Yes, sir. And then I looked up, and there is a Barnett Taekwondo Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you? Is that your family?
Yeah,
that's in Athens, Georgia.
Yep. Yeah, that's our family-owned gym. We've been here, 21, basically 22. We've been here 20-plus years. I don't want to say the wrong time, but yeah, we've been here 20-plus years, man, just grinding and everything. Me and my brother, technically, I ain't going to say me. My brother really took over. I'm just a mascot now at this point because I travel too much, you know what I mean? I can't It is what it is. Yeah. I travel a lot, you know what I mean? So if I'm not here, I'll show up every once in a while and, hey, guys, it's me, you know. But for the most part, I'm bouncing everywhere. And I don't want to say I'm here, I'm doing this, I'm giving y'all my time. And then next week, oh, yeah, Chris, we got to go do this. And it's like, guys, I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? I've been there and I've done that and I've had it done to me. And I know how it feels. So I refuse to do it to anybody else. But yeah, man, the school, we're here in Kicking. See what I did there? We're here in Kicking, man. Literally, we won, I think it was 2020 School of the Year during the pandemic. Like, that's nice. I knew it was special. Like, I already knew we had something great, but that year we won during the COVID thing, and we got to see how strong and loyal the family is and the brand is, you know. That right there helped me get even, you know, help make it even better, to where I had to push the school the best way I knew how. And that was me continuing to fight and making it to the UFC. You know what I mean? I make it to the UFC. That helps blow the school up. Boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? It works out like that. And I think we haven't had my Instagram type of blow up, but we've had some blow up, you know, at the school. You know,
does your school have an Instagram page?
Yeah, it's.
I gotta find
okay.
it.
I did that kick. I had 7 new Instagram pages of just me myself. Like, I was like, oh shoot, I didn't even know I made this page. Who is this? Oh yeah, man. Yeah. And then they're like, they're going on Facebook, stealing pictures from like 2009. So I'm thinking, I'm like, oh man, somebody knows. Like, somebody's got something on me. But then I knew something was up when my mom had an Instagram. I was like, Mom, you on Instagram? She's like, Insta who? I said, never mind. Don't worry about it. I thought she might have hit something on her phone and accidentally signed up. But when I saw that, I was like, all right, I got to be careful with, you know, with this out here. But I'd say if I'm there, wait, 2020, I plan on being there a lot more. I plan on being at the school a lot more, getting it in, because I have folks now, like I was saying, I used to reach out to people. Now they're reaching, you know, reaching for me. Yeah. If you go watch the Stephen Wonderboy breakdown of my fight, which at first I was mad because they broke it down perfect. I was like, man, get all my secrets away. but the way they broke it down, it's actually good, because I want people to think that. That's perfect. Please go back, watch it. Yes, please. Go watch it. It's excellent. That's exactly how I fight. Yeah. But they broke it down. But he came to me, and you hear him in the video. I'm sorry. Yeah, I came to them a long time ago. You hear him in the video go, yeah, I think he reached out to us. And yeah, Beast Boy, you're welcome to come anytime. I said, now I'm ready. I'm welcome to come anytime. But hopefully I can shoot up there. They're literally, I think, like 2 hours away, which is like 2 hours, 30 minutes away from us. But we've got folks now wanting to come down here and then train. Actually, my last camp, I had a dude named Cody Beck. He fights out of, he does a lot of that street beefs, backyard stuff, right?
I love that stuff, man.
But if you really want me to be honest, this man is a cheater. He knows how to fight. The dude, some of these guys they find, I'm like, bruh, and he's out there throwing combos looking beautiful. Yeah, I'm like, dude, stop. You know, he came down here and trained, and that's when I knew. I told him straight up, I was like, you a sandbag. You be beating them folks up online for likes and views. That's dirty. Keep doing it, get your money, but that's dirty. You know what I mean?
Like, no, you know what? There's a guy in my gym. We were just talking about it last week, because that street beefs, he was like, oh, what a joke that is. I'm like, I don't know, man. Some of these guys I watch, they're pretty good. Like, I'm pretty sure these guys are legit training.
There's a solid 10 of them out there. Like, I'll say from the ones that I've watched, that you're like, why don't you just go fight amateur for real? Like, why are you? Yeah. I don't know what they get paid. You know, I don't ever try to get nobody's pockets or whatever with that. But from what he was saying, he's doing okay. I think he's got like two of the heavyweight belts out in the Midwest one. And now they're doing like it's spreading like wildfire between that. And then that, what is it? That game bread, that MMA. Bare knuckle.
BYB.
MMA stuff.
BYB. Yeah.
Like, I did one bare knuckle fight, and I will never, I will never do it again. Like, after each fight, these guys were coming back, and it looked like cats had just been out there scratching their faces. The doctor goes, yeah, this sport's a lot safer, but I'm going to get carpal tunnel from having to do all these stitches tonight. And I was like, I believe it. One guy came back there. The fight lasted 45 seconds. He needed 30 different stitches.
Yeah.
30 seconds, 40 different stitches. I was like, this is dumb. Why are we doing this? Like, what is the point?
We had a guy on. He's the bare knuckle champion in England. And he's coming over to BKFC, just signed. His name is Connor Tierney. We did a podcast with him. The greatest guy. The guy looks like a model. Like, he looks like he could be like in a Guy Ritchie film. And I'm like, why are you bare knuckle boxing, man? Like, your face is going to get shredded. But he's been doing it a while. I don't know. These dudes heal up.
So I noticed, though, those pretty boys, they got really good head movement because they don't want to get hit. So it might be perfect.
There you go. Chris, I don't want to keep you too long.
Oh, you good.
I do have a audio question. This is the first time ever in our podcast that we have an audio question. So
history again. Okay. What's Karen? What's her name? Karen and Angela Hill. I think those two. They're little. I made history on theirs also. So yeah.
Really?
All right. History. All right. Yeah, buddy. I was the first something to do something on there.
What, like on a you mean on another podcast or something?
Yeah. What they got, like when Angela Hill and Karen.
Oh yeah, Karen Bryant.
Yeah, I was just on theirs, and that was their first YouTube. What had happened was podcast thing or whatever it was, and I was all right, yeah, man. Right. At first, they brought up a point. I was making UFC history all in the wrong ways. I'm technically the shortest heavyweight in UFC history now. I'm technically now the shortest heavyweight in UFC history.
And the first one to ever pull off a front flip.
I'm just
that front flip. Listen.
Where's that horn? Where's that horn at?
All right. Well, you're gonna make history for getting kicked off for talking about another podcast on our podcast.
That's why I tried my best not to. I was like, as I was saying it, word vomit just happened. I went. I don't even know if you didn't hear me. I was like, you know them. You know, I was like, oh, somebody. Let me.
No, that's okay, man. Are you kidding me? Nobody listens to us anyway, Chris.
No, watch this. I'm telling you.
All right.
Gotcha.
Chris, here's the audio question. Okay. This comes from a former guest of ours who we do like, but this is his question to you. Oh, hold on. Hold on. I got to do stronger audio here. There you go. Karen Bryant would never do that. Hold on.
To make it clear, my question is, how would Chris Barnett have felt seeing Marquise get knocked the fuck out by Trap Gambino?
Oh, my God.
Here we go, Chris. Explain this to us.
So to those that are listening, that's Trap Gambino. We've had him on before.
Hey, man. Hey, look. I got something else to do. I got to go. Now I'm joking.
So he was supposed to fight one of your guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah. He was supposed to fight one of my guys. Go ahead. Yeah.
and it didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. But that was his question to you.
I don't.
Chris, you get quiet now, huh?
I don't want to get involved in street beefs right now.
All right.
Yeah, he was supposed to fight Marquise. Marquise, I think, is like his
Faith.
Faith. Yep. Okay, so they were going back and forth on this NFC website, which is the local fighting area, group here, whatever. Trap also has had beef with people I've trained with at Strong Style. Now, I'm not a beef person. I was completely cool with Trap. I mean, to this day, if he were to message me now, you know, we'd be straight. He blocked me and took me off of Instagram because I backed some of the people that he was going against. And I was like, dude, you can't say he says a lot of stuff. And, you know, I don't want to say anything crazy, He hasn't competed for the way that he talks. Like, you know what I mean? So now he has competed, whatever. Right. All respect there. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's gone out there. I don't know. I think I saw one win or whatever.
He's
you know
one
mean?
Fight and he's looking for a second now. Yeah.
Boom. You know what I mean? So there's all respect coming from my side. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Now he started talking real spicy in the forum saying, all you Georgia fighters aren't this. None of y'all can touch my jock strap and blah, 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 blah. So he's going in on all these Georgia fighters now.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows I'm in Georgia. Now, my profile on Facebook says Tampa, but my one on Instagram says Georgia. So I said, that's funny. You can beat up every fighter in Georgia, but we've never seen you. And so from there, he was like, oh, I didn't know you were in Georgia. And I was like, it just got funny. And I was like, I'm not the one you really need to worry about. I said, at the end of the day, I'm training with like Marquise, not even training on the aspect of I'm helping him get ready to beat Trap. I just like, if I get a chance again, like I was telling y'all, I'd have to go places to train. So I literally would travel wherever I had to go and Marquise would be there. Marquise, again, hands down, crazy, crazy athletic big dude. My dude, he's probably about 320. He can do a backflip. He can do a standing backflip. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we roll together out here. We like the big Ninja Turtles out here. Cause, but it's all love with Trap, man. Like I love with him and his wife too. I think her name's like the Mob Wife or something.
Mob Wife,
on Instagram. I love what they got going, dude. Like I definitely respect their hustle, their grind and everything. But now that was a funny altercation. Not even an altercation because
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I knew wasn't nothing gonna happen. Like, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, like I just come on, man. So I had time that day and I entertained it. And then he came back quick, like and was like, yo, man, since he wants to air out laundry and stuff. Now I remember him inboxing me. No, not like that. Yeah. But him inboxing me be like, yo, we got beef. I was like, bro, you can't say you're gonna beat every fighter in Georgia's ass and then expect me not to respond. And he was like, I didn't even know you were in Georgia. I was like, well, sir, I am. I'm like, but no, it's all love on my side over here. He still got problems. I'm supposed to be in Vegas soon. We can train together. I'll be more than happy. You know what I mean? And again, for real, on my side, it'll be training. If he wants to come with all that craziness, by all means, I can go there too, but it's all love. I appreciate Trap.
No, you know, hey man, you know what? We reached out to him because we saw the personality he was.
Yeah,
know what I mean, like he's got that big personality, that badass personality. Then we have him on the podcast, Chris, the nicest friggin' guy.
Yeah, like, it's
real humble, real
it
nice.
It throws
guy.
You off. It's like that. Okay, when I got to meet Kobe Covington. Like, and everybody is so towards him. Yeah. Dude, if that ain't an act, and my man is getting paid for that act. Like, he knows what he is doing. Like, WWE is right there for him because he knows how to play that heel, man. Like, he was telling me stuff, and like, if you look at where he technically grew up in MMA and was training and raised, look at the guys that he's surrounded by. Look at who he had to be around. And for him to come out like that, come on. Why do you think no one has done anything to him? Because they know the stuff he says you would get run up on, especially being down in South Florida. Come on, man. Like they know what's going on. So he knows how to do that part. And then Trap, the exact same thing. Like I saw he's got a video where he's training with Bruce Leroy Enter the Dragon. But yeah, like I'm like, yo, you got Bruce Leroy. Like, so, and I know he's good with the Diaz brothers. And like, you know, he's been in what? I'm telling you right now, when I tell you I was good with Trap to the point to where I was going to go out there and literally just like, you know, we were going to train, do this, do that, we blah, 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 blah. But then that whole, that's what I hate too about it was an amateur fight at that. Like y'all are jawing about this amateur stuff. Like stop it right now.
Prince wasn't even in an amateur fight and he just hit a guy in the nuts for your pleasure, Chris. So I mean,
you see what
I'm
saying?
Things happen.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
hey, listen, Chris, I've been wanting to land that kick. I'm like, man, I got to do this for Chris. And I was hoping that you see it and you critique it. It's all for you, baby. It's all for you, man. Come on.
That was all. Hey, I appreciate that. The fact that you took your time out that day to land that beautiful kick. Do you hear me? Beautiful kick, sir. Beautiful kick.
I appreciate Chris.
My next one's going to be just like that. I'll probably never fight again. But that my next one will be just like that.
Neither will your opponent. Chris, right? before we let you go, though, I do want to ask one last question, a weak question. But you hail from Spain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, born and raised in Zaragoza. This is what I didn't have last time. This dude tried me last time. He was like, if you born in Spain, give me proof. Hang on, where's that?
Yeah, I want your birth certificate, Chris.
My birth certificate is like 18 pages long. It is the worst. Well, the first time I ever tried to get my driver's license here in Georgia, dude, like they questioned me so much. They thought I was a terrorist. They were like, we ain't never seen a birth certificate this long before. Why does the seal over here and not over there? I was like, I was born in Spain. They go, okay, next. I was like, ma'am, no, I've been here 4 hours already. We not doing this. We are not doing this. What's it? It's on here somewhere. United States by the way of Spain. Right there. Right.
Okay. That's your actual passport? There.
Yeah, that's my passport.
You can't be putting this on screen.
I just did.
These people are going to be like identity theft. Man.
Oh my God. We got like Jason Bourne 2.0 happening over here.
This is technically my third passport because I've had my identity stolen twice now.
Who's stealing Beast Boy's passport?
I had my whole vehicle got stolen, and I had my passport in there because I was supposed to fly that next day. When I tell you things have happened to me, that's why I am the way I am, because I know life is very short.
and so when did you move from Spain?
I was about 6, 7-ish. Okay. And then that's when we came over. And then also, I feel so bad because the European market, the Spanish market, they always ask me, hey, why don't you speak Spanish? And I'm like, look, y'all, I was born on an Air Force base, on a military Air Force base in Spain. They pushed more English than they did Spanish at all. Like, they wanted everybody to know English so much more than I was like, well, what if we leave the base? You'll be fine. You don't need to leave the base. Everything's on base. You know what I mean? Type thing. It's like, whoa. All right. We won't leave the base. You know what I mean? But it's real. It's real. That's why I rocked that on the right arm, man. You know, I've been getting a lot of heat on that one, man.
Wow.
I went to Spain just before the pandemic. I went to Spain. I went to Barcelona, but I went to Granada. Have you been to Granada, where the Alhambra is?
Madrid, Barcelona, and I forgot the fourth one. But yeah, Zaragoza, Madrid, and Barcelona, and then some other little small spot where they did like a bull run and a tomato like thing. I forgot what area it was, but those were the four places I had been when I was over there.
Nice.
It was almost Germany. I was almost born in Germany, but my pops got stationed over in Zaragoza, like, I think 2 months after being in Germany. They're like, oh, no, we need you over here instead. So they sent them over there. And then next thing you know, I'm right here.
Chris, would that mean you'd have like dual citizenship or no?
Yep, I can get out of here at any time. Like,
nice. That's so cool. Chris, last question. Beast Boy, the nickname, I couldn't figure out where that comes from. Is it Teen Titans?
And you know it. You got it.
It is. So what's the link that, man, you can see in the background, I got comics and all that. I'm a super nerd, buddy.
Yes.
Why Beast Boy? What's the story there?
When I was little, I had the ability to, I could mimic animals and I could mimic people. And what sucks is about today is I still do that in certain situations. So I worked at Lowe's for the longest time. When people would come in, to make them feel comfortable, I would mimic them. Like, I would literally, like, if somebody came in, we'll just say, hello, excuse me, where is the paper toilet? And it's like, oh, sir, the paper toilet's right over here on aisle 8. But that's not how I talk at all. Like, you know, I should have answered. I should have just been like, yeah, you know, it's right there on 8. No. For some reason, the way my brain would work, if they're talking to me like that, I have to make them comfortable. Oh, yes, sir, I can show you right to them. The paper towels are right here on aisle 8. Yeah, I'll show you right here on the bottom. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. You just have a good day. You know, and keep it moving. You know what I mean? So the mimicking, me being able to mimic people and stuff like that, like, there were times where I could get my friends out of trouble because I could, he ain't going to be here today, baby. Like, I could do some things with it. You know what I mean? And then, as I transitioned to fighting, I noticed it still worked, because in that cage, you have to be able to transition from here to here to here. If I got to be a bear, I got to be able to turn into that. If I got to be an anaconda on the ground with jiu-jitsu, I got to be able to turn into that. You know what I mean? If I got to change my style to the crane, you know what I mean? I got to be able to do that. And Beast Boy, his moniker is switching from animal to animal, you know? So boom, you know what I mean? That fit perfect. When I went to Japan, I tried the whole Beast Boy thing. They weren't having it. That Huggy Bear thing slapped. Like, oh my God. Like, the whole, the cuteness, the cuddliness, that whole aspect. And then how I was as a person, you know what I mean? Especially to them, I would get off a plane and I have like 13 people squeeze my cheeks. I'm like, bro, y'all gotta, hey, look now. There's a thing called personal space and a bubble. I get it. I get it. I got these big old cheeks.
Oh, hold on. We lost you here, Chris. Prince, that's crazy. I wouldn't have guessed it was that. I mean, man. I thought.
Oh, there we go. All right.
There you go.
But yeah, the Huggy Bear moniker is getting big here because of.
Oh, his connection might be bad. There you go.
All right.
Wait, are you goofing on us? What are you doing?
No, that's. Okay, wait. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was on another one of these random shows, like what I did there, and I pulled one of these.
You jerk. You froze.
I saw froze too. Froze too. I did it too. Chris, don't ask. I did it too. Okay.
Oh, man. But no, I did that on another show. But yeah, no, it's fun. But this Zoom stuff is bad. I'll tell you that much. But yeah. Y'all know what we're talking about. But yeah, man, that was it.
All right. Well, Teen Titans, Chris, man, we've gone way over time with you, Chris. We appreciate you so much, man. Thank you so much for coming on, Prince. Before we let him go, is there anything that you wanted to say?
But Chris, listen, man, you're a genuine, nice, amazing guy. We wish you nothing but success in the UFC. We're going to be rooting for you. If you throw one of those kicks that I just showed you right now, call it the DK, call it a dick kick. If you can do pull one of those at the UFC fights,
Donkey Kong DK dick kick. I like it.
But I appreciate you coming to the show, man. I appreciate everything that you do and everything that you represent. And wish you nothing but the best, brother.
Yeah,
Chris, awesome. Thank y'all for having me.
Chris, it was amazing to meet you, man. Just to let you know, we're doing our year-end awards in a couple of weeks, and you are nominated for Knockout of the Year and Breakout Star of the Year, I think. So, I mean, I know you've got a lot of accomplishments in your life, but you may win a Fight Insight year-end award. So, I mean,
I'll tell you what, that'll go at the top of the mantle.
Thank you.
And somebody just sent me signed Kobe Bryant cards. So yeah, I'll put that at the top of the mantle.
Thank you, Chris. Chris, before we let you go, is there anything that you want to say to your fans or any of the people watching or listening?
Man, forget all of y'all. I can't stand nothing. No, I'm joking. Let me stop. No, I appreciate y'all so much, man. Thank you again for the love, man. Like, again, I'm literally nothing without them. Like, you know what I mean? So I love the fact that they love me, which in turn makes me want to love them that much more, you know? So thank you again so much. You know, I mean that when I say that. These fighters, these people out here, we are literally nothing without you guys. We're just a bunch of dudes punching each other in the face without y'all. Like, honestly, you know what I mean? We all need to go get checked if we didn't have y'all watching this, you know, type thing. But nah, man, I love it. Thank you so much, especially to my Canadian fans and friends out there, man. Again, R.I.P. my big bro, man, Ryan Jemmo. I miss that dude, man. Like me and my boy Scott were just having a conversation about just how good he was, man. You know, but
he was amazing.
But yeah, man. But yeah, man. Now just again, and then back to y'all, man. Thank you so much for having me, dude. Like this is big, man. You know, I can't wait to be back on, man. This felt like I was just chatting with some friends, bro. Like I feel like when we get off of this, we about to go somewhere and drink. You know what I'm saying? So
I wish, man. Right? If you ever come up in Toronto, Chris, we also film stuff for Filipino TV. We will definitely get you on there as well.
Nice.
Chris, if you do go to Vegas, though. Seriously, hit up Trap. I'd love for you to train with him a little bit. I'd like him to get some training with you, man. I would appreciate it.
You know, I'm going to hit him up after this. And yes. I'm going to be, well, I can't because I'm blocked.
I don't know. I don't know that you are. I will message him. Did he unblock me? Block you. I'll tell him.
Okay. Not to be that guy, but I can't. There's a lot of, I got a lot to scroll through. But,
I know. I'll get him.
And he's got fake pages out there too, actually. You know, yeah, so.
I know.
But nah, man. Yeah, tell Trap if you talk to him before me, it's all love here. And I'm actually supposed to go to Vegas. Listen to me. Tooting my horn. Bel Air is supposed to be doing something.
Fancy.
Ooh, girl, you fancy. Watch out. But now, hey, look, man. Y'all don't tell nobody. Y'all hit me up. I'll get y'all an exclusive sneak peek. Hopefully, they let me in the back of this Jake Paul Tyrone Woodley fight thing. Yeah. Y'all hit me up. We'll figure it out. I have the little live cam, and I got y'all, man. I got y'all for seeing that other podcast on here, bro. That's my fault.
Just get out of here, Chris. We will have you back on here, Chris. We appreciate you. We love you. We cannot wait to see you again in whatever capacity, fighting, entertainment, whatever, man. You're the best, Chris. Take care and have a good one, man.
Awesome, man. I appreciate y'all, man.
Take care, brother.
All right.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Man, how do you not love freaking Beast Boy? Holy crap, man. What the best dude. I know I say that so often. Guys, if you're here watching us because of Chris Barnett, thank you for watching the podcast. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Fight Insight Podcast, YouTube, wherever you get your pods. And I do want to say, Prince, our guest for next week, I always want to try and announce it right away. Mm. Triller had their Triad Combat event a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. There was a girl on there. She represented MMA, knocked her opponent out in 46 seconds. Her name is Alexa Culp. Alexa Culp is going to be joining us on the podcast, not just to talk about Triad Combat and her MMA, but also she's a philanthropist and does a lot of work with foster children. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk to her about that. It's the Christmas season, so we think no better thing to do than to talk to someone that's doing like great, great charity work. So Alexa Culp on the podcast next week from Triller Triad Combat.
Yeah, we are excited to have her on. But man, like Tim, some of the fighters that we've interviewed on this podcast, and so they're nicer than the people that we know.
Are you kidding? I would invite Chris Barnett
right
to my house before anybody that I know, like 100%. I'm talking family, friends, relatives. Right. Chris is way up. What a great guy, man. I can't believe he came on, but oh
yeah,
the best guy.
Honestly, yeah, that's such a character too, man. It's so alive. So like, even regardless of the poor internet connection, you could still see, you could feel it in the in the screen, the way he is. Oh man, I love it. I love it. Chris, love it. You're the man.
Yeah. That trap question was funny. I don't think it was meant to be like, let's reestablish the beef. I think he was just goofing, but I'm glad that if we can bring those two together, I would love that, man. And I would love to see Trap train with Chris, even just for a day, like just get a little bit of knowledge, share some stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're two big guys, you know, that's their skills there, right? That they can mimic. So I'm happy for that. He talked about Paul versus Woodley too. And that was one of the things that we wanted to talk about today. Mm. Quickly, Prince, what a friggin' disaster this is.
I know. Wow. What a
Tommy Fury out. So I'm putting something on screen now, but Tommy Fury out. Tommy said, I am absolutely heartbroken that I have been forced to withdraw from my fight with Jake Paul due to a bacterial chest infection and broken rib. Prince, do you believe that there is any such injury, or do you think he's pulled out because he is scared?
You know what? I there was a video, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a video of Tyson Fury. He was grabbing a medicine ball, and right? I thought everyone thought that was the cause of the injury, right? But man, like, I was really looking forward to this fight. I honestly thought that, you know, okay, boxer versus boxer, finally they're gonna go at it.
How kind of you to call Jake Paul a boxer, but yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, man.
I'm back and forth on it. You know me. I think Jake Paul's a great boxer, but I can go both ways on it.
Listen, man. With this fight right here, if Woodley loses again, I'm done.
When is this fight? December what? Here's the poster here. Where is it? December 18th. So we've got a couple weeks.
Yeah.
We might talk about it again. Prince, just quickly, your prediction. Who wins this fight?
Does it even matter? Okay, let's. Paul's going to take it.
Yeah.
Paul's going to win.
And then
you know what's going to happen? Woodley's going to have a neck tattoo put on after.
I don't know. I don't even know. Conspiracy theory, whatever. I could go, like I said, I could go either way on this. But Tommy Fury pulls out.
Okay.
Jake Paul can't let this payday go. He's got to find someone to take the fight. You're telling me Woodley was ready, even if this fight is 100% legit, you're telling me Woodley is ready in 2 weeks to go back into a boxing ring? The guy, I mean, I don't know how hard he's training. You're going to go back in 2 weeks after you lost already. He couldn't have felt good after the social media blast on him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. That's a tough fight if it is real.
Well,
if the first one was real.
Well, I mean, it'd be okay if it was like one day's notice since everything's staged.
But this is what I mean. So like, is it staged? Here's what I posted on someone's Instagram. I said, hey man, of course they pick Woodley because he already knows how to sign the thing to say that this is all fake. You know what I mean? Like, he's already done it once. So they're probably just like, hey, we don't have to convince this guy. Like, he already knows the deal.
I don't know, man.
And then someone goes, oh, but he rocked him. I'm like, yeah, when I'm in sparring, you can get rocked from a jab if you run into it, right? Or if you like go into a kick the wrong way, you can get like knocked out or like you can get dizzied for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
that stuff is going to happen, but I don't know. I have no idea, man. I like to believe it's real. And I also like to believe that Jake Paul is going to beat him again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Woodley knows. Okay. So he understands how he fights. He's fought him already. So, I mean, unless he changes anything in his fight plans, I mean, his game plan against Paul, I don't know. Like, I honestly, this, it's one of those where it's like, Mike, it's like a walking WWE. We have this, we talk about this all the time.
Okay, you don't want Woodley to win. If Woodley wins, guess what we get next? The trilogy. I don't need this. I want to see Jake Paul fight other people. So I do not want Woodley to win because then a trilogy is guaranteed. And that's brutal for the fans.
Yeah,
I'm not paying three pay-per-views to watch Jake Paul fight Woodley. You know what I mean? It's like $300 or some crap.
Oh, wait. You pay for the PBV for that?
Yo, people cannot complain about fighter pay if you're not buying pay-per-views, okay? I pay for my pay-per-views, most of them, all right? I do. And I also pay for Fight Pass, UFC Fight Pass. I bought that for, like, since it came out. So I don't know, you know. I support, man. Prince, before we get to UFC 269, I do want to say middaysquares.com. I know you promoted it at the beginning, but we'll just shout it out one more time. Middaysquares.com. Check them out for your nutritional chocolate bars. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15% on your first order. MiddaySquares.com. Please support them. It supports the show by purchasing from them. So thank you very much. Prince, UFC 269 predictions. I've got a poster here from our good friends, of course, at MMA Social Squad. I got to take
that's amazing.
This is a pretty good one, eh?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Look at that.
I think they said they didn't even, they thought this one wasn't that great, but I thought this one was awesome.
Yeah, I like how they set it up. It's beautiful.
You know what they always do? They always do it differently too. Like, I like that their style is always different. It's not just the same edit every time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do we got here? I got to go to my phone here. UFC 269, what cards do we want? What fights do we want to talk about? Because we are short on time now. Dominic Cruz, Pedro Munhoz. It's not even the main event of the prelims. Dominic Cruz versus Pedro Munhoz. What do you think of that one?
You know what? I've been rooting for the legends lately, and they've been taking it. So Clay, and you saw Clay win, Aldo win. I'm gonna go with Cruz. Let's give it to Cruz.
I got Cruz too. Main event of the prelim is Josh Emmett versus Dan Ige.
I'm gonna go with Ige. What do you think?
I'm going Josh Emmett. He trains at Team Alpha Male with our friend of the podcast, Ricky Tercios. Opening the main card, you've got Sean O'Malley versus some guy named Roleon Paiva. I think he's ranked number 15, but he's a relative unknown. Come on.
I think he's 16. He was 16 when I checked.
16? I thought he was top 15. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. What do you got?
Sean O'Malley. You know?
Sean O'Malley? Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, take a better opponent, Sean O'Malley.
Unranked.
Again. Cody Garbrandt versus Kai Kara-France.
I got Cody. New weight. I think he's going to bully that division. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm going to go Kai Kara-France. I don't know. Cody's always like up and down, right?
Yeah.
He's amazing, but he's up and down. Jeff Neal versus Santiago Ponzinibbio.
I'm going with Neal.
Neil, I got Ponzinibbio.
Okay.
All right. Now we get to a very difficult one to choose, Prince. Now take your time. Ladies and gentlemen at home, take your time. Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena. Prince, don't answer too quickly. Think about it. Really weigh out the options here. The odds, I believe, are 1 jillion to 1.
You know what? Okay. You know what? Well, I'm going to throw it out there. Okay. We're just going to mix it up. For the sake of it, say Pena. I'm gonna say Pena.
Look, there's nobody that loves Pena more than me.
Let's just, you know what? Let's root for the underdog.
Impossible, man. God dang, this is impossible for Pena. I love Pena. She fights great. She's a Misha. She's a, no offense, I'm an old guy. She's a young Misha Tate. You know, she's a brawler. She's a bit of a wrestler. She's, you know, gritty. Makes it dirty. But you can't do that with Nunes, man. You know, you can't do that with Nunes, and I feel like Pena's like, look. What else is she gonna do? She's gunning for that title shot. She's beaten a whole bunch of people. So, but oh, that is a toughie. You're gonna pick Pena for real?
Yeah, you know obviously, what? Yeah. Let's switch it up a little bit. That's a safe bet. Everyone would have gone for Amanda, but no, Pena. Let's root for the underdog. Who knows?
I'm gonna cut this right here. Ready? Fight Insight Podcast 100% backs Juliana Pena. Prince, how does she do it?
Via submission.
Yeah, submission in the
second round.
Beautiful. That's it. Money in the bank. Everybody bet. You bet a dollar, you get a jillion. So it's a pretty good deal.
Oh my goodness.
Prince, the last fight, the main event of UFC 269 is between two of the greatest lightweights of all time.
Yep.
You've got Charles Oliveira, Do Bronx. Oliveira versus Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Two of the nicest guys, two of the greatest guys, two good-looking dudes, gentlemen in and outside the cage. Prince, this is a tough one, man. In all the group chats we're in, it is very divided. Who do you got here?
You know what? So far in some of the group chats or some of the Facebook groups that I've been on, a lot of them are, they're picking the Bronx. They've got Charles. That's who they're picking for. And plus he's got the blonde hair going again. And, you know, he's gone Super Saiyan. So I'm going to pick Charles. I'm going to pick Charles on this one. He's proven himself. He's just, who's going to beat him, Tim? Like,
Dustin.
Who's going
to? Dustin is going to beat him. I'm picking Dustin. I think I would love to see Dustin with that belt for once. You know what I mean? Charles has achieved it now. He's had it. He will forever be known as undisputed champion. Mm-hmm. I would like Dustin to get it because he's only been interim. Not only, but, you know, his championship was interim. He can be the undisputed. I'd love for him to get it. I just want it to be a good fight either way. Mm-hmm. But I also want Dustin to win because I'd like him to get that title. I think that's a great thing for him. So,
okay, you know what? Listen, we're going to re-edit this again. Fight Insight fully backs
Charles Oliveira. How did you want me to go? I thought you wanted I thought
you were to pick Dustin. Oh. And then, right, you know. Right. Okay.
I don't, it's Fight tough. Insight. You do it.
Fight Insight fully backs
Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Third round TKO.
Whoa. Oh my God. Yes. Bold.
Third round because I want to get my money's worth. I don't want the friggin' fight to end too quick. So I want my money's worth. Three rounds I'll accept. And I want it to be a knockout. I want it to be decisive. Dustin Poirier wins the title. Prince, your video behind you is now showing some sort of video game. Can you fix that? What's going on?
Oh.
For people on audio, Prince now has a monitor in the background, which shows what we're going to be doing is fight whoever we're interviewing is in the background. So Chris Barnett did notice that he had his highlights in the background. That's pretty wicked. Prince, we are right on time. We've burned through that. I do want a Friends of the Podcast update. Bam Bam Barbarena, you son of a gun.
Ooh, you
pulls out the win. Not only that, but Bam Bam is the nicest frigging guy. I'm going to share this with you on the screen. It's Bam Bam shared this on his Instagram story. It's a picture of him and Weeks at the weigh-ins, who was his opponent that he beat. And it says, just wanted to say hats off to you. He came to fight and stood his ground. Thanks again for stepping up. It was a pleasure to fight you. I expect great things in your UFC run. Not only were you a warrior, but truly a class act. Just a great dude. Wish you all the best. Respect. Man, Bam Bam cannot be the nicest guy, right?
Yeah, listen, Bam Bam, such a, like, listen, when he won, Tim, when he won, I genuinely stood up and screamed. Oh,
so did it I. Felt I was sweating. I was sweating bad.
Like, it felt so good. And you know what? Like, I haven't had that feeling, especially in a long while. Because, I mean, last time I saw a friend fight was like maybe 3-4 years ago. So, I mean, when Bam, you know, got his hand raised, I'm like, yes. So, Bam, we're so proud of you, buddy. You know what? Nothing but success. You got this. You got this. You're going to be on a rolling streak, baby.
Bam Bam Nation. Future friend of the podcast, Josh the Gentleman Hill. He's the number 7 bantamweight in Bellator. He won on Friday. We made mention of him. That dude is a great guy. He lives just south of us. He's in Hamilton, Ontario. He is going to come on the podcast at one point in the future, but he won by a disgusting knockout. So congratulations to Josh Hill. And our friend of the podcast, Julia Avila, the Raging Panda, she is unfortunately out of her fight against Raquel Pennington. She suffered some sort of injury. It looks like a leg injury, a knee injury, something like that. So she's out of her fight. We wish her all the best in her healing up and getting back. Of course, then Raquel Pennington now does have a opponent stepped up, I believe. And mm-hmm. so, you know, Raquel was on our podcast as well. So she's a friend of ours. Best of luck to her in her fight. That's in a couple of weeks, though. So, but Julia, we wish her the best in healing up.
Yeah, wish you nothing but the best, Julia.
Yeah.
And also, Tim, you know what? I just wanted to throw this out there. We want to say a special thank you to a new sponsor, Hula, right? So we have a new sponsor. Shout outs to Hula Cleaning Services. Contact Hula Cleaning Services for all your carpet, fitness, commercial, construction, and cleaning needs. You can find them at www.hulacleaning.com.
Yeah, if you have a dirty, stinky gym, call up Hula. If you have a gross office, call up Hula, right? So thank you to those guys for our sponsors. And on our Instagram, you'll see that we have the Hula Clean Hit of the Week. What a pun. So every week we're going to have like a great knockout or a great hit mm-hmm. of the week. And it's sponsored by Hula and it will be on our Instagram so you can see it there. So Prince, we are right at the hour mark. We went long with Chris, but man, I did not even want to end that podcast, but I felt bad too. Like I was like, we only said we were going to be like 20 to 30. So when it got to like 40, I was like, ah.
He wanted to stay on. It sounded like he just wanted to stay. Didn't give him the time frame, but I think he would have done the whole segment, the whole episode.
Yeah. Dude is awesome, man. I can't believe it. I'm so happy with that guy that, you know, sometimes you do podcasts and you come out feeling so happy, man. That's this guy, man. I love that guy. What a great, he's exactly what he looks like on television, right? Like fun loving, easygoing.
And yeah, such a, so respectful. And you know, a part of it might be that Taekwondo background, the discipline, the respect, right?
I wanted to get into all that. I wanted to talk to him about his Taekwondo, about the gym and all that, but we just went off, you know, like on all the other things, but I had a whole bunch of other questions to ask him, but I'm glad we got what we did out of him. That Beast Boy history thing was so weird. Like, cause he's like mimicking and like, that's really cool. Like, it's not just, oh, I like Beast Boy.
So when you took the guess about his nickname, was that Teen Titans? Was that just like, did you just think of it right now, or you think of over time? Like,
No, from the very first time I saw him, I'm like, oh, that.
Okay, maybe it's
Teen Titans guy. But
oh, okay,
yeah.
Anyway. Wow.
All right, man. Great podcast, buddy. This was so fun, man. Amazing Beast Boy. Next week, Alexa Culp. I'm super excited about that. I can't wait to talk to someone who's doing such great things in the community. So
amazing.
Peace. Buddy. Have a good one, man. Guys. This was awesome. Take care, guys. We'll see you next week.